It's Hughesy hello and Merry Christmas, and should I say Merry Christ Mersh? That's one of my hilarious Christmas and guest theme jokes that I always do all the time, and everybody laughs and everybody thinks I'm funny and wants to be my friend. The episode we have today is the final of the re-releases. A quick backstory for those who don't know. Previously what I would do is I would do a song pick of the week or song picks. Well, a lot of those episodes get flagged and taken down, understandably. But it's quite a shame because I fucking loved the song pick of the week. It was an exciting part of my completely fulfilled life that many, many people want to be involved in. Today's guest is a great interview with the fantastic Merce, host of Nightwave and co-host of the brilliant Revenge of the Sisters, fantastic, very controversial YouTube show. Merce is without a doubt very, very controversial character. At the minute of the time of recording this, he is in a bit of a feud with another previous It's Hughesy Hello guest, a YouTube documentary maker, Porcelain. I don't really know what's the cause of the feud. I've seen Zion Z, or I think he's called, no, Unique as he goes by now. Still a wee bastard called Kyle. He made a clip but didn't really go into much detail. They're in a feud. I don't get it. I like Porcelain. I like Merce. I even like Kyle. What the fuck's all that about? But yeah, Merce is a hilarious guy. For example, about a month or two ago, he was on an episode of my favorite podcast, Who Are These Podcasts? And him and Royce Revenge of the Sis possibly did the funniest episode that WATP have ever done. I highly recommend it, and it'll probably be a big hit now, thanks to the Hughesy Rob. Speaking of Hughesy, if you want to follow me on social media, I'm at the Hughesy on Instagram, at the Hughesy on Twitter. I would prefer that people follow me on Instagram because I cannot bump up that fucking subscription count at all. While for some reason my Twitter numbers keep growing, I don't get it. I would prefer it the other way. I'm a beautiful boy and I want you to look at me. Speaking of YouTube, even though I wasn't talking about it, if you happen to be a fan of professional wrestling and you want to hear it spoken about by the experts and the veterans, well, go check out Keeping the 100 Official on YouTube. That's the official YouTube channel for the controversial podcast hosted by legendary Conan and Disco Inferno. Conan, of course, is one of Merce's close friends. Yes. So there you go. We're going to now play the sponsors, and then when we come back, we're going to be into the interview with Merce. But I've got to say, before the Merce interview starts, I think he was quite possibly my final Skype interview. So the audio is not going to be as good as usual interviews that you would get via Zoom. Plus, at the time, I'm pretty sure I was using a headset instead of a microphone set. So don't expect it to be crystal clear, perfect, flawless audio as you always get on the great It's Hughesy Hello podcast. So again, up next is the sponsors, and then by the time you hear me back, it's going to be me and Merce talking about all kinds of controversial topics. Want to buy wrestling merch but don't want to buy the cheesy or childish stuff that WWE puts out? Well, Collar and Elbow is the company for you. Collar and Elbow was founded on the traditional values of professional wrestling. Two entities working together to create a product intended to connect with people on an emotional level. A symbiotic relationship where one cannot flourish without the other. They strive to create a product that embodies their passion for professional wrestling through street fashion. Basically, it's wrestling merchandise that you can wear in public that doesn't make you look like a total nerdy mark. This is great stuff. I've bought a bunch of it myself. I wear it myself quite often. And when you go to buy it, don't forget to use the coupon code Hughesy. That's
HUGHEZY, all in capital letters, to let them know that you heard about it through me. That's Collar and Elbow. Use the coupon code HUGHEZY. And do not forget to tell your friends, because this is the best merchandise company you're going to find anywhere.
Support to you for It's Hughesy Hello is brought to you by Manscaped, who just so happens to be the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. You know what I mean? They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Join the movement for all your below-the-waist grooming needs. Everybody knows what it's like when you're trying to keep yourself clean or keep yourself special, you know, for that big night out. Just say you have to be going to a big concert, say, I don't know, AC/DC stadium show. There's about 6 of you going away. You know that, right, something's going down tonight, so I'm going to trim my hell's bells. Use the wrong thing, you're going to end up cutting your balls and you're going to be on the highway to hell, if you know what I mean. One of my hilarious jokes there. But that's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. The Manscaped engineering team spent 18 months perfecting the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created. It's called the Lawnmower 3.0. Their third generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to advanced skin safe technology pioneered by Manscaped. And when I tell you this is premium, I actually mean this is premium. The battery will last up to 90 minutes, so you can take a longer shave. You gotta play it safe. You don't want to speed through that shit, cut one of your balls off. It's waterproof technology, so you can groom in the shower. It helps clean up easier. And one of the coolest features is the LED light, which illuminates grooming areas for a closer, more precise trimming. They've also upgraded to 7,000 RPM motor with quiet stroke technology. And let's not forget about the charging stand. Show off your mower loud and proud, because this intelligently designed stand is a convenient charging dock powered by USB. And if you're listening to me speak right now, and I hope you are, I want you to experience it firsthand for yourself. Trim that drunk of yours. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code HUGHEZY at manscaped.com. At HUGHEZY at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. And just as a little quick reminder, get 20% off and free shipping when you use the code HUGHEZY at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com using the code HUGHEZY, HUGHEZY. And thank you for the sponsorship, and on with the show. This fantastic 5-star, unbelievable, history-changing episode of It's HUGHEZY Hello has been sponsored by Blue Chew. Guys, let's be honest. In my opinion, 2020 going into 2021 has been a hell of a year, if you know what I mean. Right. Personally, I feel like I've aged 10 to 12 years over the last 12 months and grown. And if you're like me, you're feeling your age more than you used to, especially in the bedroom, if you know what I mean. It's time to snap out of it. Spring is here and it's time to get sprung with Blue Chew. Boing. That's not a sound effect. That's just one of my incredible, incredible skills. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew tablets help men achieve harder and stronger erections to combat all forms of ED, which is erectile dysfunction, by the way, you floppy penises. Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations about your small penises, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy, thankfully, and it ships right to your front door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at bluechew.com, B-L-U-E, like the color, chew, like the chew.com. Consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription in days. And the best part, it's all done online. Blue Chew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. You don't like swallowing pills like quite a lot of us? No problem here. Blue Chew's sildenafil and tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA. Thank you! And they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. So if you can benefit from extra confidence when it comes time to perform, visit bluechew.com for more details and important safety information. And here's the best thing. We've got a special deal for It's Huge Hello listeners. You try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code HELLO at checkout. All you got to do, though, is just pay the $5 in shipping. That's bluechew.com with the promo code HELLO to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring our podcast. And on with the show.
Okay, it's always fun to have a nice new guest on the show. And I'd like to welcome one of the more outspoken, and that's why I like him, talk show host, I guess you call that out there, from the brilliant Revenge of the Sith. From the brilliant Revenge of the Sith, not Sith, Sith, the excellent Merce, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, man. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate you having me on, dude. You've come a long way yourself, dude. I've been watching your channel for quite a long time.
It's fucking surreal and ridiculous. And now, who would have ever thought that Conan has become my lover?
Yeah, dude. That's actually that's a good show to listen to too, man. They do a great job.
Yeah, thanks to me. But I have to admit that I lured you here under false pretenses because you wanted to come here to talk about your favorite Amy Schumer film, which is I Feel Pretty. But I've sadly tricked you in for an interview to me.
Well, I mean, I guess I'm going to throw all these Amy Schumer notes away. Son of a bitch.
But by the way, if it would stop the Iraq war, would you eat Amy Schumer's ass? Oh, but by the way, not just eat her ass, you have to hang out with her afterwards.
Now, are we talking, is this going to stop just the current war? Or are we talking like we're pulling out of the Middle East, isolationism, put the troops on the border type of deal? Because that's a tough one.
I'm talking no more wars, no more AIDS, no more rapes. But you have to actually hang out with Amy Schumer for 3 days.
I'm going to catch a lot of shit for this in the comments, man. But I you know what, man? I'm that much anti-war. I'd have to say, yeah. I'd have to say, sometimes you got to make the ultimate sacrifice for your countrymen. And if it means no more young men going over to die, I'm not saying I'm going to enjoy it. But the thing is I've been known to enjoy a drink or two. So I would really just get blackout drunk for 3 days. I mean, look, I've eaten a questionable ass or two, and I have had to listen to a lot of this in my life. I think I could probably pull it off.
What would you do if she became clingy and then she wanted you to meet her friend, the even hotter Lena Dunham?
I was going to say, I've already met Jim Norton, and I'm, you know, once you met him once, it's like, you know, it's like the Doors said about doing the Ed Sullivan show. Why would I want to do that again? I already did it once.
But speaking of stuff, before we get into the questions, this is the most recent thing I'm dying to ask you about, and I can't believe this is real, and it's something that we have in common in a way. We have these strange connections to pro wrestlers. What the fuck happened with Teddy Hart?
Yeah, this has been one of the more bizarre turn of events on my solo show. I do, because me and Royce, we do a solo show each. So he does Day Wave from 10 in the morning to noon. Then we do Revenge of the Sith, which he and I both consider to be like the A show. And then I do Night Wave at night. and just kind of screw around from 10 to midnight. And, you know, I'm always looking for, you know, it's a little looser at night, you know, than it is with Revenge. Revenge of the Sith is very structured and formatted, but at night I'm just, you know, I'm drinking some Jameson. I'm talking shit. I'm trying to find people that are just losing their minds on the internet. And, you know, I had wrote an article like 2 years ago about a wrestling school down here in Orlando, run by a guy who was convicted of like basically molesting this teen girl. It was a whole mess. And I wrote the article and I gave a lot of information, and then I kind of just, set it and forget it. And, some time went on and people started tagging me cause they know I'm a huge wrestling mark, and people are like, "Hey, did you see Chasing Rance is in trouble again?" And I'm like, "No." So like I looked into it, but then Teddy Hart's name started getting brought up. And if you're not a wrestling fan, if you don't know the very eccentric Teddy Hart, he's been a source of amusement for a long time. So I'm like, what the hell is Teddy Hart's involvement with this guy? And then I started seeing like, then people were like, you know, his girlfriend went missing and all this stuff. And I'm going like, yo, what's going on with Teddy Hart? So I did a little show about it and I forgot about it. Then people, they tipped me off to this, this new exciting new YouTube channel, in which, Maria Manic and, who's also a wrestler, and Teddy Hart, have entered into some kind of bizarre sort of weird codependent relationship and are just kind of letting it all hang out on their YouTube channel. And, of course, always dying for new content. We started, peeling through their videos a little bit, and I've just became enamored with this dynamic. Like Teddy's a weird guy, man. So we started, you know, lightly goofing on them a little bit. I think some of my fans started leaving comments on their page and just honestly making jokes, like, you know, because Teddy says that I've accused him of like murdering his ex-girlfriend, which I've been broadcasting a long time. I know how to play this game. But, you know, he does have a girl that he was dating that was featured in a Rolling Stone article with him who's missing now. So, obviously, us being kind of, you know, trolls, we were goofing on it a little bit. And within one day, they made a video called Addressing the Allegations, where he's just babbling in his car about this girl, and he barely knew her, and his friend bought her tits, and like it was just this weird thing. And I was like, okay, I think we got a winner here. I think we're gonna have to keep going down this Teddy Hart road. So yeah, we've just been covering him, and now I guess he's sort of become self-aware, and he started kind of taking little shots at me, and we're currently, as we speak, trying to get him on the show.
That would be fucking amazing. I probably wouldn't live stream that in case he, just in case he forgot to clean his nose that day.
Well, Nightwave, we play it fast and loose, so it's live streaming. We are live streaming that shit. I'll let Teddy say and do whatever he wants if he's going to come on. But they did reach out to me. They did accept my open invite, so we're going to see. I didn't get back to him because it's the weekend, and other than doing stuff like this, I really try to keep my weekends. So I don't, you know, I don't set all that. First thing Monday, I'll get back to him and hopefully we'll set something up. But Teddy's an odd guy, man. He's driving around in a beat up old Maserati that has like little bedazzles, like hot glued to the steering wheel. He's got five cats living in his car. They're driving around smoking weed. They're babbling about missing girlfriends and getting jerked off on planes and coming all over. Like, it has been a wild ride. So, I don't see us not covering Teddy for a while.
Apparently, he lost his WWE job back in 98 because he actually asked Vince McMahon for a light and held the joint up. He goes, "Do you got a light?"
Are you serious?
Apparently, that's true. And I can tell you another bit of trivia about a certain wrestler who I can't give you the name. But he's a former world champion. He's kind of famous now. And apparently he's gay, if you smell what I'm cooking.
Oh, ooh, okay. Okay. All righty then. I did not. I would say if that's true, I mean, maybe bi at best. But I thought the Teddy Hart story, because I heard the story was that he actually had weed around Kurt Angle. and that Kurt Angle and some other guys snitched him out because they didn't like him, and that he was doing GHB with Kurt Angle, and like he had a different take on that whole thing. But there's a lot of stories in the wrestling world, which is why there's a big section of our fan base that just doesn't like wrestling, or the wrestling's fake and gay, and I'm like, it is the most fascinating carny world to study people in. I mean, it's amazing. Yeah. I know Too Cold Scorpio also got fired from WCW for unapologetically smoking weed and making zero attempts to hide it. And they'd be like, dude, you can't just, like, he would just come in stinking of weed and just go straight to catering. And they'd go like, dude, you smell like weed. And he'd be like, yeah, because I just smoked some weed. Like, Too Cold Scorpio is the man.
Partly he got that Too Cold Scorpio name because his cock's almost 2 foot long.
He's a big boy. I've heard it's a monster, even within the context of the wrestling world.
Well, fingers crossed, later on tonight I get to see that shit.
Are you interviewing him or are you going to a show?
No, I just want to see some photos.
Oh, okay. You're gonna Google fucking two flash funk cock and just see what comes up on Google.
It's not gay if you don't want to suck it.
No, it's not gay. It's for science. You're just, you know what I mean. You're scientifically curious. Honestly, I don't think it's gay. I think it's gay if you walk into a urinal and you're just trying to peek at cocks. It's another thing if somebody if there's a legend built around somebody's dick. And you go like, hey, man, I just want to see that dick. Like, you know what I mean? It's kind of like if somebody said, dude, Husey has the coolest car you've ever seen in your life. I'm not a car guy, but you know what I mean? The minute I met you in person, I'd go, hey, what's up with this car everybody says you have? I kind of want to get a look at this thing. It's for science.
But you would think if somebody was really homophobic, they would want them to see your dick in the public toilet, because it's like, hey, everybody, look at my dick. It's not hard because I'm not gay. So take a good long look and remember it. Now show me yours.
Not only that, but if it's really that big, I would think you would scare gay people off, right? Like, nobody wants to get fucking impaled.
Well, if that's the case, then no gay person has any reason to fear me ever.
No, I know. That's why I'm scared of gay people, because, you know, I'm an easy in and out, and I don't want them to pin me down and take it.
Well, speaking of rapes, the latest shit that you've been going through is for a couple of months now, a lot of YouTube drama. Now, the thing about YouTube that's insane is that I watched an interview with the boss of YouTube, I can't remember the name. Susan? And they said that they started demonetizing channels, because, and she said, oh, because they've been making sometimes as little as $250 a month. And while that's not life-changing money, I thought that was a perfect example of what a cunt she is. Mm-hmm. Because if to some single-parent family that had a YouTube channel, just say they got two kids, and they were only making $250 a month from talking about, I love cups or whatever, reviewing cups online, that really helped with school books or education or rent or whatever. But it's like, no, that's not good enough for this dog-faced Jerry Seinfeld-looking bitch's opinion. You're fucked. And the other thing that's amazing about YouTube, just as a rant, they'll shut people down if they're right-wing, but mm-hmm. nothing is more Republican than YouTube. They only care about the rich. But I guess the question when I was just, so tell us about your troubles with YouTube and the latest dramas.
Well, they owe Revenge of the Sis, which is not my money. It's me and Royce's money. So that's, and you know, that's, you know, everything's done through corporations and stuff. You know, our solo shows belong 100% to us, and that's our money. But like, the money that's generated by RTC, that's not even me and him 50-50. That goes to the company, and then the company pays us something. But we're trying to build something. So we're not like, it's not like when we make money every month, we just pull all the cash out right away and go, you know what I mean? Like, we've been trying to build something. So YouTube owes Revenge of the Sis around $3,500 that they've never paid us. They demonetized us in July, maybe June, but I think July. And they keep telling us, yeah, well, once, you know, once it's you have to reapply for partner status. And if you get reinstated, then we'll pay you. But this is money we already made. They already ran these ads. They owe Revenge of the Sith $3,500, and they owe me they're on the hook for me for about $1,300 or $1,400. So that's like just for me for 1 month. I mean, when we started making money, we were actually making really decent money. Like I was making like, between super chats and ads, I was making like $1,300, $1,400, sometimes $1,500 a month. So they just didn't pay us. They just didn't pay us the remaining balance. Now, if you have changed your terms of service and decided, hey, I don't want to, you're not eligible to run ads anymore, we're not going to monetize you. Fine, whatever. It's your business. I get it. But you owe me money. You know what I mean? Like, they did the same thing to Mr. Medicare, but he's got a big enough presence that they paid him because they were scared of him. They have not paid us yet. So it's been pretty brutal. This is why we've been kind of looking into alternatives. We're using DLive now. DLive's been a great equalizer in this thing because a lot of people have moved over there to avoid not getting paid, basically. So for streaming purposes, you know, I always tell people go to DLive primarily. We just recently capped off a trip to New York. We met with the folks at Gas Digital. We did the Real Ass Podcast with Luis J. Gomez and did Zach Amico's show, Comedy Fight Club, and then we met with their ad agency. So I right now, we're just trying to find ways around this because this YouTube thing, they're gearing up to kick us all off. And that includes you, too. That includes, you know, anybody that doesn't, you know, even Conan, even these guys, they don't want anybody on this platform that isn't already a legacy media company. They want NBC, they want CBS, they want to be a internet television alternative. So they want Vox, they want BuzzFeed, they want Vice, they want MSNBC, yes, even Fox News. They want all these legacy media companies, and they're going to start strangling everybody off of this platform. So yeah, we've been, like I said, meeting up with Gas Digital. We've even discussed, you know, meeting with them again and maybe trying to get some ideas on how they're running their shit, because eventually the day is going to come where we're just going to have to leave. We're going to have to start our own website. We're going to have to figure out some sort of a streaming option and just do it the way Gas does it, because, you know, Gas Digital, they still get in trouble. That's Seth Simon's guy. He still writes hit pieces on them all the time, but they're pretty immune from all the trouble because they have their own shit.
But what was it like when you went on to meet the lead? Well, not Legion of Skanks, sorry, Gas Digital, because I'm fairly new to Luis J. Gomez, and I think he's hilarious, but I also think he's fucking insane. And he's like the real life version of who Vin Diesel plays in The Fast and Furious.
He does have a he is a little nuts.
Yeah.
But he's one of those guys that's very manic in a sense. So like, if he likes you, and if you're not a disrespectful asshole and you're not out to get him, you're gonna get that, the same thing that, like, you know, you see him getting Jake Flores's face and you see him fighting Kurt Metzger. Like, by the way, he and Kurt Metzger made up. They're on tour together right now. Like, they're fine. But he did throw a drink at Kurt Metzger and he did try to fist fight him. But Lewis is one of those guys, on the inverse of that, if he likes you, you're going to get that same crazy energy in a very loving way. So, like, when we went there, he, you know what I mean? Like, our first impression was he just threw his arm around us. And he's like, you guys want to smoke this fucking blunt? And we're like, yeah, totally, dude. Like, and he was literally, like, the first impression was, let's smoke this blunt. Hang on. Fucking rips the door open to the studio. And his producer, Nate, he's like, Nate, why'd you get some fucking donuts? And his producer's like, You want donuts? And he's like, yeah, get fucking, it's Christmas time. It's not festive enough. I want fucking 2 dozen donuts. I want fucking munchkins up in this bitch. Let's fucking do it. It's good. Like, he's that kind of guy. But again, yeah, if you're going around going like, yo, Lewis ain't shit. Lewis is a fucking, yo, Lewis ain't shit. Like, he's not just going to go, well, I guess you can't win them all. Like, he's going to come up to you at a bar and go, what's up? I ain't shit, doggy. Come on, let's fucking do that. And you're going to go, no, I didn't. No, I didn't say that. Like, so I think he gets an impression. Plus, when you're in the comedy community, a lot of these people are very beta. A lot of these people are very, like, you know, they're all these Brooklyn hipsters that do the little coffee shop gigs. They're not used to somebody even coming up to their face and going, like, talk that Cash Money shit you were talking in the car. Talk that shit you were talking last week when I wasn't here. People aren't used to that. They're used to little Twitter battles. But Lewis will come over and just dump a drink on your table and be like, what's up, man? Like, so I think that's a bit much for some people. But I didn't grow up around comics. I grew up, you know, I was born in Jamaica, Queens. I was raised in Mastic and Long Island. I've been in some pretty rough areas in my life. I'm used to people coming up and smacking you in the mouth. I'm not used to, you know, like, to me, that's normal behavior. It's probably not normal behavior if you live a normal, comfortable life and you were raised by two parents and you had a pool growing up. But I don't find it as unusual. But again, I think you just kind of get back what you give with him. It's just that it gets kind of laser focused and it might be a little bit intense for some people.
But I honestly think that Luis J. Gomez, because he's such a fucking determined, I think they're called colored. I mean, entrepreneur or whatever, or interpreter, yeah, or whatever the fuck they're called. That I think he is going to be the guy that at least makes, not the one that overtakes, but he's going to make and design an official competition to YouTube. Whether, yep, whether it's Gas Digital Uploads or maybe not something as snappy a title as that. That's just me spitballing. But I think he's going to start something that's going to help all us lovely whites, I mean, people.
Yeah. Well, he is. And I think him and, you know, Legion of Skanks, these are like the last, like, these are the last people, like, fighting for free speech. You know what I mean? These are the last guys that, you know, when when the New York Times starts knocking on your door and calling you Nazis and all this stuff, and you're giving a platform to Nazis, you know, they could have very easily capitulated and said, No, we're just doing, no, please don't do that. But like, they pretty much told the New York Times to go fuck themselves, which that was the first time where we were like, okay, these boys ain't playing around. They really are telling people to go fuck their mother. And I think that's really great. And I think that, you know, Dave Smith's doing a great job of sort of also fight, you know, he's a little more political than the other ones, but you know, he's very good at articulating an argument that doesn't sound spurgy, so he does a really good job of fighting back. But yeah, I do think that they're trying their best to keep free speech going. And, you know, they're also really nice. They're just nice people. And, you know, we've got that bad rap. I mean, me and Royce are on the Southern Poverty Law Center's hate watch list. We've had enough people call us neo-Nazis and shit. Did not faze them. Like, he was still like, nah, come up and do the show, man. I don't give a shit. Fuck those people. Like, that's to have that not give a fuck attitude that's pretty much dying out right now in media. I do think that they're gonna be a big brand going into the future. And I don't know if you know this, but you know, there was a time when, you know, remember when Legion with Skanks was on Compound, and Lewis, I've heard this from multiple people too. Lewis basically, before Gas was founded, he begged Anthony, like, yo, put me on. Like, let me whip this place into shape and let me, you know what I mean? Let me help you build this thing up and we will take over the world. And Kumia was kind of like, I got Keith the cop. And, you know, we've seen how that's worked out for Kumia. You know, he could have had a right-hand man that was... Yeah, and again, at the end of the day, it worked out better for Lewis anyway, because that would have been like Lewis just has a job, you know, making some other guy's company better, whereas now he's an owner. And it's like, you know, again, when you go there and you see how they run a show, when you see the equipment they have, when you see the beautiful studio they have in New York City, it's, you know, me and Royce, people always say to me and Royce, like, wow, you know, on YouTube, you guys run a real professional operation. When we went there, we felt like we were children. Like, we went there and we were like, you know, there's producers like, we're brewing some coffee. We'll bring it in right before the break if you need some coffee. And the bathroom's right there. And they have like literally you go in and there's a prep sheet and everybody has one. So you come in and even the guest has a prep. Here's what we're going to talk about today. And like the screens have the countdown on it. And it's like when you're going to break, when you're about to go to break, because some of their stuff's pre-recorded. So if you're in there and you're pre-recording, we'll be doing a topic and there's a fucking countdown on the wall telling you like, hey, in 10 seconds, cut it because this is going to be our 30-minute break. And then boom, and then that's where they insert the ads later. They do little live reads. But like everything was so like there's two control rooms, there's producers, everybody's buzzing around and you're like, we are not a professional operation. Like we're, me and Royce were like nudging each other going, dude, people think we're, dude, look at this. Like, so yeah, I think you're going to, that's going to be, they're going to be a very big deal going into 2020 for sure.
How's producer Shannon in real life? Because online, I'd like to stick it in her, you know?
She's, it's funny, man, because everybody says like, oh my God, you're so mean to Shannon. Like, you know, because he's constantly breaking her balls. But again, they're all so fucking nice that just, you know, as soon as the mics go up, it's just literally, there's never, at no point did I see any kind of a malicious joke or a malicious comment made. Like everything is just done in like, it's a very weird family over there. So, you know, even when I was on the show, Gas Digital is kind of notorious for having the nicest bathroom on the planet. Like they have this bathroom that literally their toilet has a heated seat. It has like electronic settings. There's a bidet. Like it's friggin' insane. The whole bathroom is very high end. And, you know, it was one of the first things I said when I went on Real Ass Podcast. I'm like, dude, by the way, that bathroom over there is incredible. And he's like, first of all, her name is Shannon. And I can call her a bathroom. And I'm like, Jesus, dude. Like, but that's just how they all joke. And, you know, again, it's very clicky in New York. So I was very surprised that when we got there, everybody was just so nice. And they were like, hey, come to the Christmas party and we're going to get fucking wasted later. Come hang out with us. And we were like, you know, we were still waiting for that moment where it was like a fucking, like a really late April Fool's joke or something. You know, like we're still waiting for the like, oh no, we brought him out to fuck with him. This has all been some elaborate ruse. But no, it's I really think that they're going to overtake a lot of these other little independent media companies this year. And you're going to see some big stuff. And we're going to be working with them on some stuff too in this year. We're already planning some more trips up there and more things. So we're pretty, you know, again, you'll never hear me shit on Luis J. Gomez. That guy has been straight up with us from day one and he's been nothing but nice. And I also want to thank Nicole Arbour because if that goofy bitch didn't start with him in the first place, we wouldn't even have gotten to go up there. Because the only reason we got to go up there was Luis saw like a clip that had like 25,000 views of me just destroying this woman that came in and shit on his show. And, that he just followed me and DM me and he's like, you want to come on the show? And I'm like, Luis, of course I want to come on the fucking show. And I think I had made a comment in the video about like, cause people were like, oh, look at you white knighting for Luis Gomez. I guess you're going to suck his Puerto Rican dick. And I'm like, let's get something straight. I'm not sucking Luis J. Gomez's dick. I'm like, he has like probably 10 unread emails from the last 5 years of me begging to be involved in Skankfest, come perform at Skankfest. I'm like, trust me, never got an email back from him. I'm in no way do I think I'm ever going to get on Skankfest or get anything from Luis J. Gomez, or I would have heard back. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, trust me, I don't think this is going to be the turning point. And it's funny when he wrote back to me, he goes, man, thanks. You know, that girl was a real bitch and you really, you know, thanks for, you know, crystallizing my thoughts about her. And then he's like, and by the way, man, I'm sorry. And I don't remember ever getting any emails about Skankfest. Like even in the first email, he was very apologetic. Like, hey, my bad, man. I don't remember. And I'm like, dude, it's fine. I get it. You know what I mean? Nobody knows who the fuck I am. But, yeah, just very nice guys. And, the Christmas party was cool. You had to meet Big J and then, you know, Dave Smith was there. A lot of people were there and it was very cool. I think they got a really great thing there. And I just hope that they don't capitulate, you know, because these people can keep coming after you and coming after you in ways that, you know, is unimaginable sometimes.
Well, I guess the obvious question I have to ask now is, with Dave Smith, Big J, and Lewis. Fuck, marry, kill.
Fuck, marry, kill. That's a good one. Probably marry Dave Smith because he's a, you know what I mean, nice stable guy. You know what I mean? Like you want a nice stable home life. So I'd have to go with probably that. See, this is a tough one because I don't want to kill any of them. They were all so nice to me. I you know what? I would say probably marry Dave Smith and then I would just let Big J and Lewis spit roast me and then maybe they'd catch something and then one of them might eventually die like by proxy, but I don't think I could actually take a blade out and finish one of them off, you know? It would be like that scene in Game of Thrones when he has to kill the direwolf. Like, you'd go, oh, no, it's just, he's so sweet. I don't want to kill this dog.
Well, I haven't seen that episode yet, so you just ruined the whole show for me.
Oh, sorry. There you go. Well, don't worry. They ruin it for themselves at the end, yeah. So it's fine.
That TV show is the cunt fart. That's when you get the hot girl back home from the bar, and you get her up to the room, and next thing you know, and you go, ah.
No, you're right. It's like getting Ariana Grande back up to your hotel room, and then her being like, oh, God, I have diarrhea. And you're just like, this was my dream moment here.
As soon as she gets in the house, she's like, can I borrow your Sunday Times? I gotta drop a load.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, this... And you still fuck her. I mean, it's Ariana Grande. You still fuck her. But, you know, before you put it in, you're like, did you wear condoms with Pete Davidson?
Oh, fuck him. But I gotta ask about... one of the things I love is YouTube feuds, because I love that YouTube channel, Beige Frequency.
Yeah,
and he keeps up to date on all these feuds between all these, because that's actually where I discovered you, was on one of his documentaries, and I thought, this fucking sexy piece of ass is making all this these witty lines and great put downs. So I checked out who you were, and that's how I became aware of Revenge of the Sis.
Which beige thing were we? I know there've been like tiny clips, but I didn't know if we were ever really featured prominently in any of those. I love Beige, by the way. I'm one of his patrons, but.
Yeah, I think it was, I don't know if it was Joe Cumia or Owen Benjamin or whatever.
Probably Owen, yeah.
But, so talk to me about these YouTube feuds, and do you think that they have more positives or negatives to them?
I mean, it really just depends. You know, if you're punching up, there's a positive to it. You know what I mean? Like, we wouldn't even have what we have now if we hadn't have started fucking with Owen Benjamin. But the thing is like, I don't know. We've never really pursued feuds. You know what I mean? We're just critical of people that act crazy. So if you're acting crazy, we're going to pull up clips of you and go like, this dude's losing his mind. So it's like, as far as pursuing feuds is not really our thing. But if you're punching up and you're making fun of somebody who's huge and you're pointing out hypocrisy and you're pointing out things that they're doing, you can really up your profile and get a lot of new fans. So they're all positives to it. I try not to get bogged down in actual feuds because there's more downside than there is upside. And the problem with it is that there's some people that take the internet way too fucking seriously. And it's, you go from, hey, let's goof on this guy. This guy's a fucking idiot. Look at his, you know, look at his dumb hair. Look at his dumb fucking outlook on life. Look at Owen drinking and throwing beer cans at his dog. This is hilarious. You know, Owen getting kicked out of his fucking Christmas dinner last year was hilarious. You know, like, shit like that is funny to us. But the problem is that you'll always have these weirdos that are way too emotionally attached to their little internet daddies, and they can't leave it on the internet. They can't leave, you know, they can't just keep it in a realm where it's relegated to criticism or goofing on people or making fun of them. And then there's these people that just start like, they'll dox you. And I mean, like with Ice Poseidon and other people, it's been proven they'll fucking send the cops to your house. They try to SWAT people. They fucking go after, like, people will start like contacting your family and friends. Like, and that's like, that's where it starts to, where you go like, all right, dude, like this is supposed to be, you know, again, you can goof on people when they make very public mistakes or they look like an asshole. Everyone has their time in the barrel. If you do enough content, you're going to have some days where you suck or some days where you look like an idiot. People are going to goof on you. But so it really just depends. As far as feuds go, it's again, if you're punching up and you're going after a guy like Owen Benjamin, who at the time he had, there was, when he was really going crazy, he had like 11 to 14,000 people watching at one time because he was losing his mind. So when he copyright struck my Nightwave channel and he started ranting about me by name on his show, it was like you could see the do-do-do-do-do-do-do, like you see all the subs going up, and you know, and it helped us grow our profile. But yeah, as far as the back and forth feuds, you know, I like to keep it relegated to this. I like to goof on people and make fun of them. And if you want to make fun of me back, fine. I'm not going to, I'm certainly not going to lose my mind because people make fun of my lazy eye or the fact that I'm a fat loser drunk. Like, I get that. That's fun. These are all fucking, all these issues are fucking fair game. But there is that fringe element in every community that starts getting like, I'm going to dox his mother. Hey, I heard his mom's in a hospice. Let's fucking, you know what I mean? Let's go to the hospice and punch her in the stomach. You know, like, there's people that just take it to a level where you're like, Jesus, dude, let's fucking chill out here.
I'm going to fucking date this guy's mom. She's going to fall in love with me. I'm going to propose. And then I'm going to go to the wedding. And when I'm going to put the ring on her, I'm going to hit that cunt with a stone cold stunner and I'm going to tell her to suck it and run out.
Exactly. Or honestly, even better yet, just marry her. Cause I mean, what better revenge than I'm your stepdad, right? Like there's no better revenge in the world than like when somebody goes, you suck, Mersh. And you'd be like, it's dad now. I would prefer if you call me dad. Your real dad is dead and I'm your new dad. But yeah, it's, when it starts to get to that, or when it starts to get like, you know, like I've read comments where people are like, you know, Mersh needs to learn a lesson, even if it takes, like, something bad happening, like his sister being raped. And I'm like, Jesus Christ! Like, it gets to that level, and you're like, dude, we're just goofing on people that think the earth is flat. I don't know what you got going on in your life, but, like, you know, I turn the microphones off, and then I'm like, hey, let's play some fucking Rust. Let's, you know, let's go smoke a joint and fucking go out to dinner and have a steak. It's once this is off, like, if you look at my Twitter and my Facebook and stuff, like I've had even my family and friends go like, you don't post a lot on Facebook and Twitter anymore. Like, cause it's really not worth, like, what is there to post? Like, nobody cares. First of all, nobody cares about your personal life. Nobody cares. And really it's my Facebook is there. My Twitter is there for you to always have a way to go like, hey man, did you see this thing Thursday? Or, hey man, how have you been? Or, hey, how's your sister doing? You know? And then I can talk to people, but you know, as far as like, putting your shit out there, it really just isn't worth it anymore.
But tell me, just as we're beginning to wrap up here, but as a broadcaster, of course you say, you're hopefully going to keep this going and maybe with the Gosh Digital down the line. But when it comes to PC culture and the rise of it, or I should say the radicalization of PC culture, or the faggotry of PC culture, is the way I
used to be, but
how does that make you feel going forward? Because for me personally, like, I did this interview with Jackie the Joke Man Martin.
Oh, he's great. And
he told a story about Jenna Jameson during the making of the Private Parts film. And it's fucking hilarious. And I know that if I put that on YouTube, it would get thousands and thousands of hits. But I also know that could get me shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Because he said he was, well, basically the story was, there was this snack table out and all this gourmet food. And that she's standing there completely naked. And he says, so I'm standing there eating Chinese noodles looking at her pussy. You know,
I think you can get away with that a little bit more. I think that they're really, you might not, because again, they're clamping down on everybody, but it's a lot of it's politics and a lot of it's, you know, bullying and harassment and hate speech, but like literally any criticism is that now. But at the end of the day, everything is cyclical. And I do think that, you know, the PC culture is going to bring about some really bad times. And I think that once we're at war with Iran, and I think once we have enough immigrants invading this country, and I think that once our fucking GDP is in the toilet, and once everybody constantly can't, you know, you can't even take a subway without getting raped and stabbed, I think our priorities will begin to shift again. And I think that there will be eventually a de-emphasis on PC culture. I mean, you know, conservatives did this shit to us, you know, what, 60 years ago. It was the same shit. You know, 70 years ago, we had McCarthyism. We had, you know, is he or isn't he a commie? And, you know, look at these godless sodomites and, you know, let's burn these, you know, witches. Like, there's always some group of people trying to impose their will on others. And eventually people go, okay, you know what? We're getting kind of tired of this shit. So I do think that that day is coming. And I do think that also, with blockchain, I think with decentralization, I think that there's a lot of tech coming out now where, you know, sure, Google and other companies will always be able to kind of de-emphasize your content and try to push it down. But I think that if you can make a word of mouth type of thing and you can get people to know where to go look for, I mean, look at the dark web. If you're, it doesn't matter if you want to get heroin on the internet, you want to buy a hitman, you want to look at child porn, you know, these guys, they all operate through word of mouth and refer, you know what I mean? Like, there's dark web fucking websites where you can watch them murder people. And it's because people go, you got to go to x.247a.645. Like, you got to get a little scrap of paper and put it in your Tor browser, but it's you can't stop people who have built something and have a community and are trying to get the word out. So I don't see it being sustainable forever. I think that as Papa John said, a day of reckoning is coming. And I think that's why he's actually eating 50 pizzas in 30 days right now, because that's how he actually amasses his power levels. And when Papa John bites into that 50th pizza, he's going to go fucking Super Saiyan. And I think that Papa John is going to come save us. That's my theory. I could be completely off base here.
Well, fingers crossed. And drop me that child porn link right after.
I got to send it on a slip of paper. Yeah. I'll put it in one of those what are they called, what's it called when it's a dead drop, you know what I mean? Where I put it in a fucking, I lift up a trash can at a park and I put it underneath the trash can and then I text you the coordinates.
That would actually be a really great like a TV thriller where it's about pedos trying to secretly share links on with each other, but obviously they can't send texts. So they've got to go to all these measures, like, you know, smoke signals and stuff. Like, hot Asian kid sucks it.
And plot twist, the pedos are the good guy in this movie. We're going to get M. Night Shyamalan. So you're going to do this whole movie, and then at the end they're going to go, oh my God, the child fuckers were the good guys all along?
They could do a horror remake of Home Alone, where it's... four guys trying to break into buying this really hot Asian girl, and she's seven.
That would be great. Home Alone 5, they literally break in immediately, get through all the traps, and then it's just an hour of them holding down Kevin McAllister and just taking turns fucking him. That would be quite a new twist on an old classic.
Well, speaking of films, we've just come to the final two big questions, and these are questions that everybody gets asked, so ye shall be judged based on ye answers. Nicolas Cage, is he awesome or not?
He's awesome, without question. He's awesome. Is every movie he ever made awesome? Absolutely not. But if you just take Nicolas Cage as a piece of Americana, of course he's fucking awesome. Come on, he fucked Elvis's daughter. He's been in both the best and the worst movies ever made. If you shit on Nicolas Cage, that's just some self-hatred and jealousy that people have to work out of themselves.
Well, we have now come to the final question, and this is the one that can make or break you. This is the one that will make you lose all your followers, no Gas Digital, no Shannon the producer's big jugs who deserves some of this right here. Are you ready for the question?
Okay, I think I'm ready. I'm as ready as I'm going to be.
The Spice Girls are back. Who is your favorite Spice Girl?
Huh. That's a tough one. I'm trying to think. Probably, you know what? Who was the black one?
Scary Spice.
Yeah, Scary Spice. Because she's she has said some really, really slutty things over the years. You know what I mean? Like, there's not, like, if you're going to pick a Spice Girl that I think I could probably piss in her mouth, it would probably be Scary Spice.
Well, actually, the answer was supposed to be Baby Spice, but then you said piss in the mouth, so I'm going to give it to you. Well, you put the right answer, Marsh.
Nice. I did it, man.
Well, is there anything, any links, addresses you'd like to plug to these losers listening to me?
Sure, man. Well, I'm one of those losers. So, but no, I would say Revenge of the Sis, 4 to 6 every day on YouTube. And then, of course, Nightwave Radio at night. My partner Royce does Daywave also as well. Daywave Radio, if you want to look that up. And Twitter, at TerrorSpurg, all one word. If you want to get in touch with me, my DMs are always open.
There you go. Marsh, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, man. This was a blast.
Okay, thank you, Marsh. And let's hope that whatever this problem is with you and porcelain and stuff ends soon. At the minute, I cannot confirm any upcoming plans for my Christmas specials. I'm still working on them. Hopefully, I'm trying to go big, and that's all I can say. I'm trying to... Because you might as well go big, because then you can fail. What? Yeah. So stay tuned to the social media for news on that. Forgot to plug the YouTube, of course. If you want to see the video version of tonight's interview, go check out Hughie Entertainment on YouTube, okay? Hughie Entertainment is the place to be. And the place for me to be right now is in the pub. We're not social distance anymore. It's Christmas time. I'm actually hungover right now. I'm going back out drinking. I want my Guinness, I want my Tennent's, I want my whiskey, and it's Hughie. Bye-bye.